Today, we're going to discuss Yisro and Yisro's search for God. We're going to read some key psukim in Parshas Yisro. We're not going to deal with the whole Yisro story because there are a number of questions associated with the Yisro story. What I want to focus on is, based on what we read, at what point does Yisro become a God-fearing person, or does he become a God-fearing person? Let's just read these psukim. We'll read the first 12 psukim in Parshas Yisro. Perek Yudches. So, Vayishma Yisro Kohen Midyan Chosein Moshe As Kol Asher Asa Elokim LeMoshe Will the Yisrael Amo Ki Otzi Hashem Es Yisrael Mitzrayim. So Yisro heard, he was the Kohen of Midyan, the father-in-law of Moshe, heard everything Hashem did, that Hashem took them out of Egypt. Vayikach Yisro Chosein Moshe Sipora Eishes Moshe Acher Shilucheha. So Yisro took Tzipora with him to go see Moshe after she had been sent home. Veshnei bnei asher shem ho echad gershom ki amar ger hu yisi berach nachriya veshem ho echad eliezer ki elokei aviv bezir v'tzeni mecher paro, and also the two kids. So Yisro comes with Tzipora and with the two children, with the two sons, to Moshe. Vayavo Yisro and Pasukei Chosein Moshe Bana Vishto Moshe El Hamidbar Shehu Chonesh Sham Har Elokim, and Yisro comes to Moshe with Moshe's children and his wife to the desert, to the wilderness by Har Elokim, by Har Sinai. Vayomer Moshe, Yisro says to Moshe, Nicho Senchah Yisro Ba Elecha, I, your father Yisro, have come to you Vishto Shnei Benayima, with your wife and your two kids. Vayetze Moshe likras chol snow. Moshe comes to visit him, to meet his father-in-law. Vayishak lo, and he kisses him. Vayishalo Yisrael shalom. They greet each other. Vayvo ha'ohala, and they come to the tent. Vayisaper Moshe lechol snow es kol asher asa Hashem lepal mitzrayim aladot Yisrael es kol atla asher mitzasa b'derech vayetzei Hashem. Moshe tells his father-in-law everything that God did to Paro and to Egypt regarding Yisrael, and everything that had happened to transpire, that Hashem saved them. And then by Yichad Yisro Kol Tova Asher Asa Hashem Yisrael Asher Yitzilu Miyam Mitzrayim, Yisro was so happy. By Yomer Yisro, Yisro says Baruch Hashem Asher Yitzilu Eschem Miyam Mitzrayim Miyad Paro Asher Yitzilu Eschem Miyad Mitach Miyam Mitzrayim, blessed God who saved you from Mitzrayim, from Paro. Atal Yadati, now I know Ki Gadol Hashem Mikol HaElokim, that God is great, is greater than all the gods. Ki Badavar shares a dualehem because of their schemes against the people. Vayikach Yisro, and Yisro takes Olo Chosi Moshe Olo Zvachim Lelokim. So he offers these sacrifices to God. Vayavo Aaron Chosi Kne Yisro Lecho Lechem Im Chosi Moshe Lifnei Lelokim, and Aaron and all the elders Yisro eat bread with Yisro before God. So that's what I'm focusing on, the first 12 psukim. It's very rich. It's very rich. And there are a lot we could discuss, but we have a certain period of time, so I want to focus our conversation. And I want to know, who was Yisro? Did Yisro believe in Hashem? Was he a monotheist? Was he an idolater? Does he change his mind now? I mean, how do you read Pasuk Yud Aleph, right? Atal Yadati Ki Gadol Hashem Mikol HaElokim. Does the news of Yetzias Yisrael, does that transform Yisro? How does it transform him? Why does Yisro come at this point? Why is he offering sacrifices? Was he already a monotheist? Did he become a monotheist now? So what changes at this point in time?
He doesn't look like a monotheist.
I'm sorry, what do you want to say, Ben?
He doesn't look like a monotheist.
Why?
Because he says, Ki Gadol Hashem Mikol HaElokim, that this God is greater than all other gods. He should have said, this is the only God.
Right, maybe. I hear what you're saying. It could be. It could be from all the other, like, what their so-called gods. Maybe. Like, in other words, He could be saying that your God is the one that when they claim, might be. In other words, is he acknowledging the other gods? I hear what you're saying. Okay.
And he says that God is greater, similar to the way Bnei Yisrael did when they saw finally the Mitzrim dead at the Yom Sof.
Right.
But Rabbi, yeah. He tried all the other gods before this.
Yeah. Okay. That's a midrash. Before we get into the midrash, no, I'm not saying it's wrong, Evan. I want to first look at the text, and then I want to go into how the Mefarshim read the Pesukim.
It could be reacting to Matan Tola, but it's not very clear from here whether he is or not. But it's possible that this is after that, and that's what he's reacting to.
He's reacting to Matan Torah. In other words, he knows that there's going to be Matan Torah.
Either that, or it happened already, and he's for it, and that is what pushes him over to realize Hashem's greatness, as opposed to just the Ethiopian.
Right. Although I just want to point out, it doesn't seem the big question. You might be right. The big question, of course, is starting from Pasuk Yud Gimel and on. When does Vayihimi Macharash? When does this story take place? And it was the next day, and Yisro advised him to have other judges. When does that take place? Is that then a little bit later?
You could learn the Pesukim either way. Either that he didn't know about it or he didn't know about it. You know, it seems to go both ways.
Right. Well, it seems from the summary of the text that he's coming because he hears about Hashem taking back Mitzrayim. Then you want to say, he knows perhaps this is Mamon Har Sinai, Bnei Yisrael getting the Torah, and he wants to partake in that potentially. Okay.
I think you see a change in Yisro even in the first two Pesukim, because in the first Pesuk, it identifies Yisro as Kohen Midyan Chosein Moshe. In the second Pesuk, it says Yisro, Vayikach Yisro Chosein Moshe. We didn't forget from the first Pesuk to the second that he was the Chosein Moshe, but it did drop the Kohen Midyan.
Yeah.
So it almost seems like when he started, when he made the decision to go to Moshe, he dropped the title, his previous title,
right,
of Kohen Midyan.
Which is interesting. So first of all, you're making an assumption, which is a fair assumption, but we're going to see not everyone agrees with your assumption, that Kohen means the religious leader of Midyan, which would indicate, Alan, that presumably he still was the Kohen Midyan when he comes to Moshe. At this point, he drops it.
Yeah, when he even first decided to go to Moshe, the Torah drops that Kohen Midyan.
Maybe,
They didn't have to repeat the words Jose Moshe.
I hear you. So now, in other words, we have to, the information, we're going to see, I'm going to share with you three different approaches on how to read the text. So the key phrases that we have to look at are this term Kohen Midyan. We have to look at, him, right, what was mentioned also, that Hashem is greater mikol ho Elohim. That's a good phrase. Why is he offering Atoya Dati? Now I know. Why is he offering Karbanos? So what does this show about Yisrael? So I'm going to share with you.
Just add to what Alan said, by the way, in A and Yud Beis, it again says Chosein Moshe.
Yeah. Now he's identifying more with Chosein Moshe than Kohen Midyan, or maybe he's completely rejecting Kohen Midyan. Okay.
But he's mentioned that four different times.
Why are they mentioning the name, the reason for the name of the person?
Yeah, it's a good question. I'm not. It's not
because it seems to me, you can learn it as you're different than me,
Right, they're two different questions. There's why did Moshe name him there, and why is he mentioned it here? These are good questions. I'm not gonna talk about that now. These are good questions. It doesn't relate to the shir, but it's interesting why he mentions. You want? Is it related to why is he a monotheist or not now?
In other words, maybe he's saying Yisro is emphasizing maybe that you're different than I am. So that's Moshe, you, but me,
Okay, I hear. I have to think about that. Okay, I have to think about that. So we're gonna study at least three approaches. This is I'm not sure if I have Evan's source, which is certainly there. that he went to search for all different gods. That's there. I'm not sure if I brought it. There are a lot of sources, but that's certainly one of them. So we're gonna have three different approaches here within the Mefarshim. Was he always a monotheist? Was he originally an idolater and he left idolatry, or did he remain an idolater? So the first.
Rabbi, I just think there's an interest that Gershom, he wanted to keep
him. Yeah, yeah, he wanted to keep him, right. That Gershom was that right. I think we spoke about that once, that's why Moshe didn't circumcise Gershom, because Yisro, yeah. So, even Ezra says, Ula Kohen hu Yisro velo Reuel. So, look what he writes there. Even Ezra, this is from Perek Beis. So he says, V'chol Kohen shebemikra, Misharesu Lashem Olakum. So even Ezra points out that whatever it says someone was a Kohen in Tanakh, you're either a Kohen to God or a Kohen to idolatry. Because Vahay Bekianuli, we use the term Kohen to also Kadosh Baruch Hu. V'Kohen Hashem. Look what even Ezra writes. V'Yisro Haya Kohen Lashem. And Yisro was a Kohen for God. He was a monotheist. Okay? I don't think that many of us would have thought that. When we read Kohen Midyan, we generally assume that he was pagan. But even Ezra says he was it simply means he was a religious leader. And why would you say he's a religious leader? Rav Sadia Gaon says, obviously he was a religious leader. And look what he writes. He says, V'lo niskavein bamro, Atayadati shelifnez manzel lo yida et elokim. Just because in this week's parsha, the Yisrael says, "Now I know about Hashem, right? That God is great." It doesn't mean that before he didn't know of God. Ki ilu hayakein aser haya leMoshe Rabbeinu litchaten bezaro. Moshe would never have married Tzipora if, right? She didn't have yichus. If her father wasn't a monotheist. That's what Rav Sadia Gaon believes. And maybe, Rabbi, yeah.
Shem was also Kohen
Lekeloyon, yeah. Some wanna, right. So now that it's right, you could, I don't know if I have it here, Evan, but some of the Makaros I was looking at, they compare Yisro, where he says, now I know that Hashem is greater Mikol Elohim, similar to Shem, saying he's Lekeloyon, that he's the highest of all the different so-called gods. Very good. So Rav Sadia Gaon says, "Acha kavanah zeh shelo yada ki Elokim manish es ha'oshek ba'osa midah sheba oshek v'kipeach." He just says that I didn't realize how powerful God was. That He would punish those who oppresses. That Hashem punishes measure for measure, midah keneged midah. So now and then so yes.
So just to show a difference, if you will, between, according to the last Mefarsh, between Moshe and Yaakov, Moshe wouldn't marry the daughter of an idolater, but Yaakov did.
Well, that was still family. It could be that they come from the same family. In other words, it could be that if Moshe is going to marry a foreigner, he would marry someone who believes in one God. And by the way, just want to point out here, Rav Avram ben Harambam, so, a little bit related to what you were saying, Ben. He writes here, Mimishpachas Avram Hoya. Rabban ben Avram believes that actually Yisro came from the family of Avraham. Why? Midyan is Mibnei Keturah. Right? One of Avram married Keturah. They had Midyan. Asher Mimidosav. Kolomar Shel Avram. Gemilos Chesev Achnasas Orchim. Simon Zera Avram Gomle Chasadim. So fine. So Ben, okay, fine. So you're right. Maybe he would have married an idolater, but at the very least, it was family. In other words, something about the descendants of Avram Avinu. So again, my only point, there's one second. So my point is, these are three different opinions, three different statements, but they all, I would group them all as one approach saying that that Yisro, and this I think is an approach that I don't think many of us generally read about, and that is that Yisro was always a monotheist or he had some kind of yichus even before the beginning of Parsha Shmos. We have Ibn Ezra who says he's a Kohen to God. Rav Sadia Gaon gives a rationale. He said Moshe would not have married someone who was an idolater. And when it says Atayadati, just means that he appreciated the God's ways in a higher level. And Rav Avraham ben Avraham says, interestingly enough, that he was from, again, I don't know if he was an idolater or not, I don't know what his position on that was, but at least he says that he was a descendant of Avram Avinu. Why is Yisro coming now? So maybe what Herbie was suggesting, if he is already a monotheist, he's coming to experience the revelation. Mamad Har Sinai. He believes in one God. He's coming to for Mamad Har Sinai. Ben, I'm sorry, I interrupted you.
Yes. Yeah, so that part about Keturah and Midyan plays in very well to the story when Yisro was upset that his daughter didn't bring Moshe back after Moshe helped them.
Why?
Because he was
a family.
Yeah.
Oh, chesed, oh, chesed. Chesed.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Good. Okay. Another. I think the most popular approach when we study Yisro's character, I think our general assumption is like this middle approach, that he originally was an idolater, and then he left idolatry. At which point did he leave idolatry? So that we can debate that. So you have a medrash in Shmos Rabbah, which says the Kohen Midyan Sheva Banos, the Kohen. The Midyan, he had seven daughters. Valokar Sparchu Soni Avos Kuchavim, Vedasad Baros Moshe Eitzel Oved Avos Kuchavim. I understand. God detests idolatry, so why would he have Moshe flee to an idolater? Ela Amar Rav Hussein is Yisro Komer Avos Kuchavim Haya. Yisro was a pagan priest. Virash Ein Bamamish, and he saw that it was really nothing. Ubiser Alev, a hero, lost his tshuva. So this whole thing soured on him, and he wanted to do tshuva. Ad shelo ba Moshe, v'karolivnei, and even before Moshe came, v'karolivnei iro, he called out to the people of his town. V'amar lahem, ad achshav ayishli meshamesh eschem, me'ata zaken ani bacharu lachem komer acher. He told them, basically, I was your priest until now. It's time for me to retire. Choose someone else, right? That's a general rule, right? Yisrael tells us the rabbi should retire first before the town kicks him out. So Amad Vahotzi Kli Tashmishe Avodos Kuchavim V'Nasan Lehem Akol. So what does he do? He stands up and he takes out all the idolatry from his house and he gives it out to everyone. And Amdu V'Niduhu Shalizdakek Lo Adam V'Liyasu Lo Malacha. So they figure out that basically he doesn't believe in idolatry anymore. And they excommunicate him. No one should have anything to do with him. Below Yiru Asono, no one can even graze his, take his sheep out the pasture. Ubikish Minarom, Liros Lo Asono, below Kiblu. And he asks the shepherds to take care of his sheep, and they don't. Lefich Hotzi Benosav. So that's why in Perek Beis, where it talks about his daughters going out to graze the field, to help, to get the sheep to give them to drink. So they're doing, the daughters doing this because no one else wants to help them. So, Vatavona Vatidlena. They went early because they were afraid of the shepherds. When the shepherds came and they drove them away. How could it be? He's like the rabbi of Midyan. He's the chief priest of Midyan, and the shepherds are going to drive him away. So that story is evidence for the Midrash that says, in other words, the Midrash is working with a few assumptions. Number one is, can't be that Moshe would find himself in a house of idolater. But we have Yisro as being Kohen, a priest. But we also have a story where the shepherds are not being nice to the daughters of Midyan. So then Chazal creates a story where basically he leaves idolatry, he leaves idolatrous practices, and that's why he's not treated well, and by his daughters not treated well by the shepherds. I just want to point out, Rashi in Perek Beis Pasuk Tzayin translates Kohen Midyan Rav Shebohem. So, by the way, Rav doesn't necessarily mean priest. Rav could also be like a political leader. Upeira Shlomo Avodah Zara, but same thing. He separated from idolatry, and then they excommunicated him. But I'm saying Kohen can mean the Kohen for God. It can mean a pagan priest, and Rav could mean not a Comer as a priest. Rav could refer to a political leader. Just want to point out, Rashi says, Tell you Dati again. What's this pasuk? Now I know. Makiro Hayiz Shava. I knew this beforehand. Bakshav Yotu. Now I know it more. Again, Rashi says that at some point he left idolatry, but even before Perek Yud Ches, he believed in God.
Because it's the two languages,
it should be Atah. Okay. Oh, very good. I like that.
I knew it, now I know
it. Now I know it more. Okay. And then, and by the way, you have to, and this is really a separate story, which is, why does he go back home, Legayer Ben Mishpato, to convert his family? Again, this, according to Rashi, perhaps with, we don't know, according to Rashi, is he converting now? We don't know. But certainly, he goes back home to convert his family. He's certainly impressed by Mamad Har Sinai that he goes home to convert his family. The Mechilta and the Ramban both say, we'll just read the Ramban. Ramban says clearly that he converts at Sinai. The Ramban and the Mechilta also said, we'll just read the Ramban. And Ramban in Pasuk Yud Beis says, V'ikach Yisrael chosi Moshe lo zvachim lelukim, hayakoza terem boam el Har Sinai. So he wants to say, this is before they came to Har Sinai. Gami techein lefareish, shesidar kosev kol inyan Yisrael vo hayaza achar she'amar imam yomim rabim. So like this one, what Hurry wants to say, maybe this, even though it's all at once, maybe this happened after some time when he offered the sacrifices. So according to Ramban, he converts at Sinai. So I'm just trying to point out, so if he converted at Sinai, by the way, just want to point out, if he converts at Sinai, so the Ramban also, in understanding the shepherd story, why the shepherds in Perek Beis drove the daughters away, that simply the Ramban writes there that the shepherds would fill up, would feed their sheep first, and afterwards the women would come. On this day, the women came first, they wanted to do it first, but then the shepherds came and drove them away. So nothing to do with them being excommunicated. So all I'm saying is that You within the approach that Yisroel originally was an idolater and then he converts, you can look at when he converted at different times. Maybe he converts earlier on, and that's why the people excommunicate him even before Moshe comes to meet Yisroel. After all, how could Hashem see to it that Moshe would marry the daughter of an idolater? Or like the Ramban says, no, that maybe he only converts maybe later on. He wasn't excommunicated by his people. Maybe he still believed a little bit in idolatry. But once Babad Har Sinai happens, that's when he converts to become a member of Klal Yisrael.
That's why, but we know that he leaves. Like, he doesn't stay there.
So correct.
According to Ramban, I guess he would have had to come back and convert.
According, yeah, it's a separate question. Why does he leave? When does he leave? When does he come back? That's another shear. No, it's a good point, but he, you could say maybe he convert, maybe he went back to convert other members of the family. Right, that's really a separate question as to when does he convert? When does he come back? That's a separate. So I'm trying to sort of, I'm not sort of focusing on that. I think it's an open question according to Ramban, why he, you know, when he goes back, why he goes back. You know, Rashi says explicitly that after this he wants to convert his family. So, but we have sort of again two different schools of thought so far, that he was always a monotheist. The more popular approach, which we found Shmos Rabba, Rashi, the Ramban, the Mechilta, that he was originally an idolater and he left idolatry. And if I would have put Evan's source, which I didn't, but that would fit into this category. They searched all the different gods out there, and he tried up every single avodah zara. So that would fit into this category. There actually is a third school of thought, and that I found in Shadal, this is more modern, Mefarshim, and Kasuto. Shadal basically says, he first cites the Ramban, and he says that, he cites the Ramban, who says that he converted, and If you look in the third line, he says, "Achma sheharam." This is in Parak Yudchas Pasigal, the third line of the Shadal. He says, "Achma sheharam ban mechem rom ki Yisro niskayer." Yeah, that which Rabban and others say that Yisro converted, zeh ain't on nearly. Doesn't seem to be correct. Shrei im niskayer. If he would have converted, ech heishiv lemoshe. How could he respond to Moshe? Lo ki im el artzi vel molat yelech. I'm going to go back to my land and to my birthplace. Vein safek ki ki. He tamuta milo ta'ela hu halicha lachalutim lo halicha almanas legayer bnei beisola lachzor. When you say I'm returning to my land and to my moledes, right? That reminds you of what? Who leaves his eretz and his moledes? Avram Avinu, right? Lech lecha me'artzcha mumlatcha, and that's to forge, you know, to follow a different religious path. So Shadal said, when Yisro is using that term, I'm going back to my eretz, my moledet, I'm not going to convert someone, I'm going back to my, you know, religious worldview. V'gam achar hadorahu anu motzim ki chever hakeni, alfi sho yoshev eretz Yisrael hoya b'shalom im yavin sorer Yisrael. And we find that chever hakeni, he's at peace with Yavin, who is, you know, that's who Devorah and Sisera fought against. Veinenu Omer Shahaya Bez Chever Kini Ov as Yavin, Kimasi Yael made Hafech. So Yael came from Chever Akeni, and she obviously killed Sisera. Aval Yavin Haya Bishon Bez Chever, the Sisera Batach B'Yavel. Now, why did Sisera go to visit Yael? Because Yavin was in a peaceful situation with Beit Chever. So if really the Chever Akeni who came from Yisrael converted to Judaism, why were they at peace with them? They should have not been at peace with them because they were not at peace with the Jewish people. Right? He said, "Imayu akenim geirat sedek v'ayu muravim bnei Yisrael." If they were converts and they were immersed with Klal Yisrael, mikamas man korom lakein. It can't be. And he also says, "V'rav mizos ha'inei b'mei shol ha'yu akenim b'soch ha'molek." The kenim were living amongst ha'molek. Ha'itachal geirat sedek shikavu dirosam v'kev amam tuav. Is it possible that the descendants of Yisrael, if they were Geirat Tzedek, they'd be living amongst Amalek, the arch enemy of the Jewish people? So Shadal believes that Yisrael never converted. Okay? Similarly, Kasuto, so he just deals with the fact, but doesn't it say that Yisrael, what did he do? He offered sacrifice, Lelokim. So he just says, that's just a general term, Elokim. It doesn't say that he offered sacrifice, B'Shem Hashem, to God. Even though Yisro recognized the power of Hashem more than the other gods, he didn't fully accept the faith of Klal Yisrael. He thought that God is one of the Elim. That's Pashup Shat, like what Ben said at the beginning of the Shir. He thought that Hashem was more powerful than other gods. And again, so the term Elohim, for, you know, if you believe in HaKadosh Baruch Hu as the God of the Jewish people, then you would say Yodkei Vavkei. And so he wants to say that he is, that basically he did not, convert. So we have sort of three schools of thought. We have one school of thought that Yisrael, one of these schools of thought is something that I think we're most familiar with, that he was originally an idolater, but he left idolatry. But there are other schools of thought. There's Ibn Ezra of Sajagon, who said that he was always a monotheist. Rav Avin ben Harambam, so we don't know what he holds in terms of was he a monotheist, but he certainly was a descendant of Avram Vino, and so he had some good, wonderful, redeeming qualities. According to this approach, he comes to, he believed in God, he comes to Har Sinai, presumably to experience the revelation at Sinai. If he originally was an idolater but left idolatry, maybe he joins the Jewish people earlier on, or maybe he fully converts at Har Sinai, that's the way the Ramban understands it, or maybe we even have some like Shadal, not the classic Parshanim, but sort of more modern Parshanim, Shadal and Kasuto, say that he does not convert at Sinai at all. Because it doesn't make sense based on later episodes. And I think that we can learn different messages, maybe depending on your interpretation of this story and Yisro's search for God. Is the story of Yisro the story of an idolater who sees the truth at some point in his life and sends the message that it is our job to be in Or LaGoyim, a light unto the nations, and try to share the truth of Torah with the rest of the world, just like it happened to Yisro. Is the story of Yisro a story of how Moshe Rabbeinu found a man who, like him, was a monotheist, was an outsider, but a kindred spirit, and how Moshe saw Hashkacha when he found Yisro after he was forced to flee from Paro? And I'm sure many of us are familiar with the Medrash about how Yisro was originally, you know, the advisor to Paro, and he's forced to leave. And then Yisro and Moshe become like two lowly men of faith, both banished from Egypt from taking politically incorrect but morally correct decisions, and how they find each other. And soon enough, right, Moshe finds God, Moshe and Yisro found each other, and out of their friendship, Moshe marries the daughter, Zipporah. Or maybe the story of Yisro is the story of an idolater who is impressed by our people and our values, and maybe a little bit whom we can learn from as well, like Moshe Rabbeinu learned from Yisro's advice. And so maybe there's a little bit of all three of these lessons, depending on our approach to who Yisro was. There are different parts of messages that we can learn from this story, whether he was always a monotheist, whether he transformed, or whether he continued to remain an idolater, but still was Moshe's father-in-law and gave him valuable advice.